Yud Tes Teves, 26th December. Start the day the Torah away, combined with the Yad HaKal in Northwest London. Rabbi David Stern.
I'd like to discuss a topic to do with this week's parsha. It's a shiur that I heard many years ago from Chaim Kaufman, Zochrein Levracha. It's actually printed in his Mishchas Shemen, for those who want to research. In Chelik Beis and Simon Kuf Nun Ches. The Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis, says as follows. Brings a brisa. Oid Zu Dorash Todus Ishraimi. The Gemara told us he was a Gavra Rabba. And he dashed in the following drosha. Ma ro'u chananya mishol ba'azariya shemosru atfa makadush Hashem l'kiv shono eish. We all of course know that Nebuchadnezzar erected a statue of gold and insisted that all his subjects should bow down to that statue. And he was told that Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were refusing to do so, and he confronted them, and they still persisted in their refusal. And he threatened and then carried out his threat and threw them into a fiery furnace, where miraculously, of course, they emerged unscathed. Says Todos Yisroimi, where did they get this idea from? Ma ro Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, shemosru atzom haklush tashem v'kiv shanoish. So the Gemara says, "Nosu kavachoyim ba'atzmon mitzvardim." They made the kavachoyim from the tzvardim, which we're going to be learning about this week in the Sedra. Umat tzvardim, they said, "She'ein mitzuvim akdush Hashem." Frogs or crocodiles, wherever the tzvardim are not commanded on kedush Hashem. Nevertheless, k'siv b'hu, it says in the Torah, "Uvo va'olu beveisecha, etc. Uvetanurecha, uvemisharoisecha." Mishar isecha, kneading bowls. Amosai mishar is mitzuyah is eitzel tanur. When you get a kneading bowl adjacent to a tanur, heve oime b'shoshah tanur cham. It's not referring to when the oven is cold, but when the oven is hot. And yet, uvo v'olu, they will enter your boiling ovens. They were moist and nefesh. So onu we, chalai mishar v'adar, shu mitzuvin ha-kadosh Hashem, al achas kamo v'kamo, how much more so, should we give up our lives, our kedush Hashem? And that's what impelled them to be meisa nefesh. They kal v'chomer, they learned from the tzvardim. So I'd like to be able to discuss total of four difficulties that are apparent with this Gemara, and as Hashem, the resolution to those difficulties. First and foremost, every yid knows, every child knows that there are various halachas of Kiddush Hashem, but there are three cardinal sins: Avodah Zarah, Gilu Aroyes, Shvichus Domim, irrespective of whether it's in public, for Hesia or Betzina, if it's Shas Hashmad, not Shas Hashmad, every Yid has to give up his life. Yehoreg V'aliyava, rather than transgress one of these three cardinal sins. And therefore the question is, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah were here told to bow down to a statute. Obviously, they've got to be Moisei Nefesh and not do so. Why do they need to resort to a pasuk in Parashat Va'era and learn a kal v'chomer from the Tzfaradim? Is it not, does it not go without saying that you have to be Moisei Nefesh rather than bow down to an Avodah Zarah? That's the foremost difficulty with this drosha of Todos Yisroimi. So on that question, we're going to go through four answers offered by the Rishon. Rashi over here, seemingly wanting to address this, says, "Ma ro'u shalei darshu v'chai bohem v'lo shiyomus v'hem." So Rashi says, why did they not darshan v'chai bohem v'lo shiyomus v'hem? The Torah says, you should live by the mitzvahs v'lo shiyomus v'hem, that there's no requirement to give up your life over a mitzvah. So Rashi is telling us that if not for the Kavachem, they would have been permitted not to give up their life, because it says v'chai bohem. Now this of course is very difficult, because if you look in the Gemara Sanhedrin Daf Ein Dalet, the Gemara says that B'chai Bohem teaches us that all mitzvahs in the Torah ordinarily are Yavor v'Ali Hori because of B'chai Bohem, except for Avodah Zarah Gilu Aroyes Shvichus Domim, where we learn out from V'Ahavta Es Hashem Elokecha. Regarding Avodah Zarah, we learn out from V'Ahavta Es Hashem Elokecha V'chol Levavcha U'V'chol Nafshecha, that Afilu Noitel Es Nafshecha, you have to give up your life. So why is Rashi invoking over here that the drasha they could have relied on is B'chai Bohem V'lo Shiyomus Bohem? So Tosus pounces on Rashi with that question, and furthermore, Tosus adds that Maskinon b'Sanhedrin de lekula alma b'fahesia Chad lim sarat me'afila mitzvah kala. The Gemara in Sanhedrin further teaches that when it's in public, then even for an ordering mitzvah, one has to give up one's life on Kiddush Hashem. And here, this was a public event, so the chayabem oughtn't to apply A because it's avodah zarah, B because it's befarhesia. So what does Rashi mean? Ma rov shloi dorshu the chayabem. So the Maharsha over here in Pesachim answers on Rashi's behalf as follows. He says, if you look in Sanhedrin, Daf Ayin Daled, there is a Tana Rabbi Shmuel who he darshans the chayabem, the loy shiyomosvem, to refer to the ability not to give up one's life, even for avodah zarah. He argues with Reb Lezer, I think, who dashes v'hafts shem akach b'chol avoch v'chol nashcha, that you do have to give up your life when it comes to avodah zarah. And he says, no, v'chayavem v'loy shiyomosvem refers even to avodah zarah. Aye, says the Masha, even Rabbi Shmuel agrees that that's only betzina in private, but in public with Ahesia, even Rabbi Shmuel concedes that you do have to give up your life. So the Masha says, true. But what does public mean? What does farhesi mean? He says, you look in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Gemara says, v'nigdashti b'soich b'nei Yisrael. Farhesi means there are asara Yisraelim. If there are 10 Yidin standing there, that is called farhesi. The fact that there might be many, many non-Jews standing there, that doesn't constitute yet a farhesi. Says the Mashal, therefore Rashi was of the opinion that Todos Ishraimi, the one who dashed this drosha, held like Rabbi Shmuel, that the Chai Bohem permits one not to give up one's life, even when it comes to Avodah Zarah. And furthermore, Rashi held that in Bikas Dura, in the valley of Dura, where this statute was erected, there were not present Asori Yisraelim. There were a bunch of Babylonians there, but there weren't Asori Yisraelim there. And therefore, it didn't constitute Parhesia. And therefore, Rashi says that Hanan Shazar would have been entitled to rely on the teaching of a Chayabem Baleshi Yomosbem, were it not for this Kalvachoyma, where they saw that even when one isn't, strictly speaking, required to give up one's life, still, the Tzaradim did so nonetheless, and therefore we will also do so. So that is the Mashal's explanation of Rashi. That's the first answer. That according to Shita Rabbi Shmuel, and if you accept that there weren't Asori Yisraelim there, there would be no requirement for them to give up their life. Tosus clearly, at least on the second point, disagrees, and Tosus understands that there were 10 Yisraelim there, which is why Tosus does not accept Rashi's pshat, because Tosus says at the very least it was Parhesia. There were many Jews there. And therefore Tosus offers an alternative, the second answer to our question, why would they not be required to give up their lives in any event because of the chiyuv of Mesiras Nefesh, not serve Avodah Zarah? So Tosus says, that Mufarash Rabbeinu Tam, the Tselem Zeh She'osan Nebuchadnezzar, Lav Avodah Zarah Hava, Elo Indrata She'osan Lichvoid Atzma. So Tosus says, actually this wasn't a deity that Nebuchadnezzar erected and people were expected to serve it as some sort of a divine god. Rather, it was a statute which, for his own honor, he wanted people to bow down to, but it wasn't an Avodah Zarah per se. And therefore, the requirement to give up your life rather than serve Avodah Zarah was inapplicable with this Tselem. And therefore, they could have bowed down to it, but they chose to learn from the Tzaradim, Kal V'chomer, and to be Moseh Nefesh nonetheless. That's Tosus' answer. And Tosus supports that by quoting from the Psukim then, Daniel. Tosus says, V'chei Mashua Midichsiv, that they responded to Nebuchadnezzar and they said, Le'elohoch lesa nachno polchim, ul'talmud dehava lo nizgoid. So Tosus, the implication is, Mashma, the Lohodi day, the Talmud tre milinim. They said to him, we do not serve your God, and we will not bow down to your image. Implying that that wasn't his God. It was two separate things. A, they made a statement, we don't serve your God. And B, we're not bowing down to this image of yours. But this image wasn't actually in Avodah Zarah anyway. It was simply done for his own personal grandeur, for his own honor, and therefore didn't constitute Avodah Zarah. Says Rabbeinu Tam, therefore, nevertheless, it seems there was some element of Kiddush Hashem in there not bowing down to it, despite the fact that it wasn't an Avodah Zarah per se. It would have nevertheless sanctified Hashem's name that they were refusing to do as he bid them and to bow down to this image of his. And therefore there was an element of Kiddush Hashem which they derived from Tzaradim they ought to be Moseh Nefesh for, but it wasn't a requirement for them to be Moseh Nefesh because it wasn't, strictly speaking, an Avodah Zarah. That's Rabbeinu Tam's answer. Then Tosus brings a third answer, V'ri Mefarish, Maro Shalei Borchu. They could have escaped. Tosus says that you see that Daniel also at one stage ran away. They were summoned to Nebuchadnezzar. They could have as we say, made of a Yivrach, disappeared off the scene, and then they wouldn't have had to Moisei Nefesh. So yes, this was an Avodah Zorah, which when confronted, bow down or else, of course you had to be Moisei Nefesh for, but they could have disappeared and not been confronted with this altogether. And yet they chose to remain and to be Moisei Nefesh. That was a teaching that they learned from the Tzadim, that it's correct to be Moisei Nefesh, even when strictly speaking they could have gotten out of it, Al Pidin, by simply disappearing by being Bereach. That's the Ri's answer. And the fourth and final answer is quoted in the Me'iri in Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Dalet. The Me'iri says as follows, just a short hakdama. There is a machlokes over there in Sanhedrin between the Baal HaMor and the Rambam. The Baal HaMor says that the requirement to be Moisei Nefesh at all stages and levels, which means whether it's Shas HaShmad or whether it's Farhesia or whether it's Avodah Zorah, Gilui Reish, Shlichus Domim in principle, all that is only ever a requirement if the goy who is asking you to be Moisei Nefesh is doing it lahavira al hadas. He's doing it in order to make you transgress the Rabbani Shalom's law. But if he's doing it lichvoid atzmoi, that means he's asking you to do an avera, but not lichvoid atzmoi, lahanoas atzmoi, he's doing it for his own pleasure, then there's no requirement for Moisei Nefesh. That's the shit of the Baal HaMor, which is a massive chiddush, because according to Baal HaMor, it comes out for Gila Rois, which ordinarily speaking would be lahanoas atzmoi, there would be no requirement to be Moisei Nefesh, because he's not doing it lavira atzmoi, he simply wants to have some hano. So the Baal HaMor says in such instances you don't have to be Moisei Nefesh. So the Ramban over there disagrees and says no, lahanoas atzmoi, you don't have to be Moisei Nefesh if it's another mitzvah and it's pahesia, but not these three sins. These three sins you've got to be Moisei Nefesh, even if it's being asked of you that you transgress them for his own enjoyment, that doesn't make a difference. These three sins of Avodah Zorah Shem cannot be transgressed even if it's done lahanoas atzmoi. That's how we pass on Shulchan Aruch in Yerideh Simon Kuf Nun Zayin. But the Baal HaMor says that lahanoas atzmoi, one needn't be Moisei Nefesh. Now, even the Baal HaMor himself writes there, he concedes that this heter of his can hardly be applied, he says, to Avodah Zorah, because he says, L'Avodah Zorah atzmo, eini yodea boi derech, shiyovoi boi hanoas atzmo, kidei shiyei mutza. If somebody's never going to ask me, he says, to be bad down to Avodah Zorah, because it gives him pleasure, why should it give him pleasure? Gila Rois, he says, I can hear. But with Avodah Zorah, he himself says, I don't see that my heter can be applicable because there isn't an occasion where a requirement to bow down Avodah Zorah will provide the goy with Hanos Atzmo. He says, Lefichach, says the Baal HaMor, Nira Liba Avodah Zorah Atzmo Lo'olam Yehoreg V'al Yavor. However, the Baal HaMor, the Me'iri, sorry, using the shitza of the Baal HaMor, that Hanos Atzmo is mutter, says that in this instance of Muchad Metzar, not like the Rabbeinu Tam we mentioned. Rabbeinu Tam said it wasn't an Avodah Zorah at all. The Me'iri says it was an Avodah Zorah. But the purpose for Nebuchadnezzar requiring people to bow down to Avodah Zorah was merely for his own grandeur. He says, Lo also elo lahanos atzmoi. La'avoid masha also lahatalei mosoi. It was merely to show amboss. V'lo le'ilu yirosa ulkavonas Avodah Zorah. It was done merely for his own hanor. Therefore, says the Me'iri, in accordance with the shit of the Baal HaMor, you can answer that the reason why they would have been permitted according to the letter of the law to bow down is because lahanos atzmoi, there's no requirement to Moisei Nefesh, and for that reason they needed to learn from Tzvardim that it's nevertheless appropriate and correct to be Moisei Nefesh in certain instances, and therefore they chose to be Moisei Nefesh. So those are the four answers. Rashi says it's according, this Rashi is going according to Rabbi Shmuel, that Avodah Zorah doesn't require Moisei Nefesh. Rabbi Ibn Tam says it wasn't an Avodah Zorah altogether. The Ri says they could have escaped. And the Me'iri says it wasn't Avodah Zorah, but in accordance with the view of the Baal HaMor, Lanos Atma, there's no requirement to be Moisei Nefesh, and therefore it's for that reason that they resorted to the Kal V'Chomer of the Tzvardim, and were Moisei Nefesh nonetheless. That's the first area. But there's a second difficulty with the Gemara, that if so, that they weren't required to Moisei Nefesh, like we've just now established. So what's the Lashon? Madoch Tzadim who don't have Moisei Nefesh. Onu Shumetzuvim al Kiddush Hashem. What do you mean Onu Shumetzuvim al Kiddush Hashem? We've just now brought down four Hashem who've clarified for us that you're not Metzuvim al Kiddush Hashem in this instance. So what do you mean Onu Shumetzuvim? That means Moroshim. If you are Metzuvim al Kiddush Hashem, you don't need the Kal V'Chomer from the Tzadim. Elamai, we just established that in this instance, you're not Metzuvim al Kiddush Hashem. So then what do you mean by saying we who are Metzuvim al Kiddush Hashem, how much more so? You're not Metzuvim al Kiddush Hashem. Now maybe according to the Re, you can explain that they really were, in this instance, Mitzvah Kedushas Hashem. They just could have escaped. But in the event that they chose to remain, they were being entered into a situation where they were Mitzvah Kedushas Hashem. So perhaps according to the Ri, the Loshon Onu Shem Mitzvah Hashem means we who will, if we remain, will be Mitzvah Kedushas Hashem. How much more so should we do so? But according to the other Rishonim, that there's no Tzivah Kedushas Hashem in the first instance, what does it mean Onu Shem Mitzvim Kedushas Hashem? So that's question number two, which I will leave for the moment. And we'll come back to, hopefully, when we answer question number three. Question number three is a question which the Achronim deal with. And that is that, what's the whole basis of the Kal Vachomer? The Ma, the Tzvardim, who were not commanded. So the Achronim ask, what do you mean the Tzvardim were not commanded? Oh yes, they were. It says in the Torah, Va'olu uvol beveisecho, uvachadar mishkoch. They will enter your houses, your bedrooms, al mitosecho, in your beds, so they were clearly and explicitly commanded, the Tzvardim, to enter all these areas, including the hot ovens. So what do you mean, man, Tzvardim, who were not commanded to enter, when the Torah says, so the Meshech Chochma in Parshas Lech Lecha writes, that you could have suggest that va'olu uvo is not a tzivui, it's not a command. It's a sibul dvarim. It's a prophecy. This is what will happen. You will see they will enter here, there. They will enter the ovens too, but not that I'm commanding the Tzvardim to do so. The Maril Diskin over here in this week's parasha also concludes that way, but interestingly he brings that the Shargis Arya was bothered by this question. I don't think it's printed, but he writes, the Shargis Arya, Hiksha asked this question, what does it mean that Tzvardim were not in Tzavah? It says va'oluva, and the Maril Diskin explains, because it's actually a yitzur. In the next pasuk, it says, so he says that even if you'll accept that the first va'olu vo is a sipur dvorim, but the second ya'alu ha'tfardim, he says, is a command. Let them go up. Ya'alu ha'tfardim, this is what they shall do. In which case, they seem to have been commanded to enter the ovens. So what does it mean that they were not nitztava? L'chari they were. Says the Maril Diskin, quoting the Shargis Arya, that the Shargis Arya answered to this question as follows. The Shargis Arya says, no individual Tzvardeya was commanded to go into the oven. He could have gone under the quilt where it was nice and warm. Or he could have gone, you know, into the dough. He could have gone into other places. So although globally, yes, there was a command that the Tzvardim will enter, should enter the ovens, but since no individual Tzvardim had a command to enter the ovens, therefore each one who chose to do so did so of his own free will, as it were, and cannot have been said to have been nitztaveh by the Rebbeinu Shalom to do so, so he was lo nitztaveh al kedushas Hashem. That's what Shlagis Arya said. And Maril Diskin writes, I don't understand this terrace, he says, because the Rosh Hashanah, if we're going to accept it's a command, says, I'm commanding you Tzvardim to go to A, B, C, D, and E. So he says, if a Tzvardim would get up and would say, you know what, I'm not going there. And the next one would say, and I'm not going there. And the third one would say, and I'm not going there. Then who would go there? Clearly, if there's a command that they go there, then going there is a fulfillment of that command. Yes, individually, you haven't been named and asked to go there. But on the other hand, the command was the Tzvardim go there. So anyone who does do so wasn't established by the Rosh Hashanah to do so. So the Magia in the back of Maril Diskin brings down that this disagreement between the Shargis Arya and Maril Diskin is the chayra to be compared to a famous machalokes between the Rambam and the Ravid. The Rambam in Perek Vav Mehilchas Tshuva asks a question quite famous. Hashem said to Avram, "Va'avodum ve'inu oisam arba me'eshono." And then, I will take accounting and I will punish the Mitzrim for having enslaved and afflicted Klal Yisrael. So the Rambam asks, I don't understand. On the one hand, the Mitzrim have been commanded to enslave Klal Yisrael. And the next minute, the Rosh Hashanah turns around to them and says, right, and now I'm punishing you for doing so. Says the Rambam, why should they be punished to do so when they were just fulfilling orders, as it were? They were doing the tzibah of the Rebbeinu Shalom. That's the question the Rambam himself poses in the end of Perek Vav Mehilchas Tshuva. Says the Rambam, he addresses a different point in between. He comes back to this and he says, "Chein haMitzrim." He says the answer is, "Kol echod veechod meoison haMitzrim vehameirim liYisrael ilu loy rotza lahara lehem oshus biyodeh." So the Rambam says, no one individual Mitzri was asked to go and whip a Jew. The nation were commanded to enslave Kol Yisrael, but you didn't have to do so. You could have, you know, taken an office job. You didn't have to go and afflict and be maker the Yidden. Shalei gozar al ish yodua. Hashem was never gozar on any particular person. Elo hoidiyoy. Hashem told Avram, shesov zaroi leishtabed beretz lo Elohim. So the Rambam says, therefore, if you chose to go and to afflict any given Jew, you're deserving a punishment. And the Ravid takes strong issue with the Rambam over there in Hasogos. And he says, he's referring, his Roshan refers to the other bit the Rambam mentions, but he says that the person can turn around, the Mitzri can turn around to Hashem and say, you're going to tell me I wasn't commanded. You're going to say, Ani lo hizkarticha b'shem. So the Mitzri will turn around and say, Al michal gzeirotzka. I don't understand, Rabbi Yisraelim. On who then was chal yo gzeir? Al oisan shaloi? On the ones who didn't do the shibut? There was a command that we should enslave the Jews. So, who fulfilled your command, Rabbi Yisraelim? Not the one who didn't. The one who did, that's me. So the rabbi says, I don't understand. If I wouldn't have done so, it wouldn't have been done. So I was fulfilling your command. How can the fact that I wasn't named to do so, that cannot be said that therefore I wasn't fulfilling your command. And the Ramban in Parashat Lech Lecha also writes over there very strongly, disagrees with the Rambam. Of course, his Loshon, he writes, "Mishekodam va'osa gzeiros shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu zocha b'dvar mitzvah. Hamisrashel, the one who would be lazy umatzel hadover al acherim, choymes v'choytei nafshoi." So the Ramban and the Ravid both say that even though they were not named to do so, it's considered that they're commanded to do so. They are in fulfillment of Hashem's command. And the Rambam says, no, that since you took the choice to do so, you deserve to be punished for that choice because you weren't individually asked to do so. You could have let someone else do it. So, according to the Ramban and the Ravid, why indeed were the Mitzrim punished over Zoi? So there are different truths. And the Ravid says because they did more than they should have done, or Megal Gmechoyvag Dechayev, they were perhaps wicked in any event. Al Kaponim, so the Magia says that Lachoira, the Machloikis between the Shagzari and Maro, this seems to parallel this. The Shagzari is saying that the Tzvadim were not commanded to go into the ovens because they could have gone elsewhere. It wasn't me who was told to go in the oven. That's why the Ramam Shitta, that no Mitzri who did any harm, was asked by the Rosh Hashem to do so. Whereas Rav Diskin says, I don't understand, but if I wouldn't have gone to the oven, and he wouldn't have gone to the oven, and who would have gone to the oven, clearly that would have been absconding from the command. That's what the Rabbi and the Ramban kind of on the Ramban, that it is considered a command. Okay, go and fulfill it. Kodam l'dvar mitzvah. Oh, no. He writes there, v'yesh l'chalek, Magil and Rav Diskin. So Rav Kaufman explains that you could actually be mechalek, that over here maybe everyone would agree that you could answer like the Shagas Arya, that they weren't individually commanded. Because it could be that it's different to the case of the Mitzrim. In the case of the Mitzrim, there was a command, Avodun Binu Oysel. Somebody who would choose not to do so would be not fulfilling the Rabbi Yisrael's command. He would simply be saying, you know, I'm sitting off to the side. Let someone else get on with Avodun Binu Oysel. And that, the Rav and the Ramban say, would be incorrect to do. Mashenkin over here, the command was manifold. It says, there are numerous places any tzadeh could have gone to, which would have been a fulfillment of the Rabbi Yisrael's command. So here perhaps even the Rav and the Ramban would agree that if a tzadeh would say, you know what, I'm going under the covers, I'm going in the sofa, that would have been okay, because it wouldn't have been an absconding of the command, it would have been a fulfillment of the command in a different area. And therefore the ones who nevertheless chose to go into the ovens are doing so despite not having been explicitly, so to be commanded to do so, and therefore it's considered that they were not mitzvah and nevertheless did so. And therefore, it could be that here everyone would agree to the territory of the Shagas Aryeh, and that's why Chanan and Shabbat were correct in saying that they who were not mitzvah and nevertheless did so, so we, who, as we said earlier, are also not mitzvah, will nevertheless do so. Now, if you accept that mahalach, then I haven't answered the onus shemetzuvah, which was our second question, what do you mean we are metzuvah, when we just now established that they weren't metzuvah because of the four reasons that we gave earlier. However, Reb Chaim Kalman says that you could learn the Gemara differently to answer this third question, and that would also serve to answer the second question. And that La'olam will accept the Mahalach, so to speak, of the Rabbah and the Ramban, the Mahalach of Maril Diskin, that Be'etzem Metzvadeah, who went to the ovens, was commanded to do so. Because not to do so would be shirking the tzivah of the Rabbanim Shalom, and although individually they weren't named, it is considered a fulfillment of the command to go into the ovens. What does it mean when the Gemara says that the tzadim who are not mitzvah did some kalachemer, we who are mitzvah? You could say that the Pshat Shasem says something similar to this, that the tzadim are not mitzvah normally on mitzvah kiddush Hashem. That means normally there is no mitzvah kiddush Hashem. Yet here, they were told by the Rebbein Shalom to go into the oven. So the kalachemer, the Chanan Shalom would be as follows. Umat tzvardim, who don't normally have a mitzvah kiddush Hashem, nevertheless, in this instance, I see that the Rabbi Shalom did command them to be moiseh nefesh and to go into the ovens. So Onu, who although in this instance we don't have a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem because it's not Avodah Zorah, it's Rabbi Shmuel Shitta, it's Lanoa Fatwa, but Onu, who normally do have a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, so that means we have a shaykhus of the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. So I haven't got a shaykhus of the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem yet. They were commanded in this instance to be Mekadosh Hashem, so Onu, who normally do have a Shaychus of Mitzvah Kiddush Hashem, Alachas Kamo V'Kamo, that it's appropriate for us to be Mekadosh Hashem in this instance. So that would resolve maybe the third question, that yes, the Tzadim were Nitzavah Al Kiddush Hashem, but what the Gemara means is that they're not normally Nitzavah. And it also answers the second question of Onu Shu Mitzuvim. It doesn't mean here and today we are Mitzuvim. It means we are normally Mitzuvim on Kiddush Hashem, although today we're not. The Kal V'Chomer we're learning from Mitzvadim is that we should choose to do so nonetheless. Kal V'Chomer from Mitzvadim who were Mitzvah Hashem, even though normally they have no Tzivu of Kiddush Hashem. It's not in Gansen like the Kal V'Chomer, but that would resolve it as far as those questions are concerned. The final question, I'll try and briefly just conclude, which requires explanation is, and the Mashal asks this, that L'chaira, if indeed they were not Mitzuvah on Kiddush Hashem, Chanlai Mishra Vazaria, okay, so we resolved the Lashon HaGemara, it means Onu Shu Mitzuvim normally, but L'chaira, it says in the Torah, V'chai B'hem, V'loi Shi Yomus B'hem, which L'chaira means that in those instances where you're not required to give up your life, you're not l'chaira allowed to give up your life. So if indeed Chanan Shavadara were not in a situation where they were required to be Moisei Nefesh, what right did they have to be Moisei Nefesh? Tzvar de Mahin, Tzvar de Maher, forget the frogs. Frogs don't have a mitzvah b'chai b'hem. But you have got a mitzvah b'chai b'hem, and as such, if you're not a balabos on your life, if you're not required to give up your life, you have no right to give up your life. So the Mashal says, what right did Chanan Shavadar have to go and allow themselves to be thrown into the fiery furnace if there was no situation requiring them to do so? The Chayvem Shul V'l'Chayra prevented them from doing so. Okay, so very briefly on this question, I'll just cite the sources. There's a well-known Machlokes Rishonim. Is a person allowed to be Moisei Nefesh when he's not required to do so? So Tosfos in Avodah Zarah, the Ran in Shabbos, and that's how Shulchan Aruch and Yerideh Kufman Zayin Paskins say that yes, you're allowed to. You're not required to. Yavor va'al yehoreg, in those instances where the halacha is yavor va'al yehoreg, doesn't mean you must be over and you may not be killed. It means you may be over and you need not be killed. But if you choose to be killed, that's okay. And they cite various sources, Midrashim, Ma'alacha yotzei litzalev, it's a Midrash, a Mechilta and Shmois, they would ask a person who was being taken out to be hung, why are you going out? And his response was, Al-Shamataltis Salulov, Malcho Yetzel Lisokel, Al-Shamaltis Benim, Yidin Mamoisa Nefesh, from Mitzvah Smila, from Mitzvah Salulov, because Yerushalmi, Rav Abba ben Zimra, was told by a goy to eat a piece of Nevela, and he refused to do so, and he was killed. So, instances where, despite not being required, Al-Pidin to be Moisa Nefesh, we find Yidin were Moisa Nefesh, and of course, throughout the millennia, Yidin were Moisei Nefesh voluntarily, even when they weren't, strictly speaking, required to. Because Rambam and Tosfos say that a person is allowed to do so if he feels impelled to do so for the sake of Kiddush Hashem. However, It's well known. The Rambam in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah writes very strongly that a person who is in a situation where the Torah says Yavar v'al yehoreg, and he goes and kills himself nonetheless, harizeh mischai v'nafsho. And the Kesmisha explains, because the Rambam learns Yavar v'al yehoreg means he must be over v'al yehoreg, and he may not be killed. You're not allowed to just give up your life because you choose to do so. You're not allowed to. That's the Rambam Shitta. However, even in Shitta Sorambam, the Nimuke Yosef in Sanhedrin and the Chinuch in Mitzvah Reish Shalivov add that an Odom, Godol, Chosid, the Yerei Shamayim, who V'roye Shahadur Porot V'kach, an extremely pious individual who sees that the door is porous in a particular area, Roshoi lekadosh Hashem v'linsa atzmai afila mitzvah kala, kidei sheyiru ha'om v'yilmedu leyiras Hashem la'ahavoi b'chol libo. So we have shittas taisa in the Rambam that you're allowed to do so in any event, and the Rambam and the Ramban also in Teres Odom, the Chinuch and Muki Yosef say you're not allowed to. But if you're an extremely pious individual and you're Rei Hashem and you see that it's a necessary, it's something which the doer requires that someone should show and take a stance, they're permitted to be Moiseh Nefesh Al Kiddush Hashem. Okay, time is moving on, so I won't get involved in all the details. There's a bit of detail over here, but the bottom line is that according to therefore the Shitta of Tosfos and the Ram, it's poshut Hachanan Mishal Mazara, despite not being required to be Moiseh Nefesh, having learned to Kavachem from his father, they would be permitted to do so. The Chayvim wouldn't stand in their way, because you're allowed to be Moiseh Nefesh when you choose to do so. And they took a lesson, a leaf out of the page of the Tzfardim, and decided that they felt they wanted to be Moiseh Nefesh in this instance. If you're going to say that normally, that the Rambam, you're not allowed to be Moiseh Nefesh, then of course you'd have to resort to the Heta of the Mugyesa, which is that an Odom Gogol Reish Shemayim, V'roya Shadoi Porot V'kach V'lato, and here Chanan Mishal Mazara, being great and pious individuals, felt that it was timely in the particular situation in which they found themselves, that they should be Moiseh Nefesh nonetheless, and therefore it's based on that they were permitted to do so. I'll just conclude with a one-line Kliokor, which I don't know if you've seen, but it's very interesting, that at the conclusion of the Makkah, Paro said, I've had enough, please get rid of all the Tzfardim. So Moshe Rabbeinu prayed, and all the Tzfardim died, and were heaped in Mitzrayim, and became Bayivash, became extremely smelly. Says the Kliokor, if you look at the Pesukim, it says that Yomusa Tzardim min Abatim min Achatzeirois min Asodois. He says it doesn't say min Atanurim. Yeah. So the Kliokor says, very interesting Kliokor. It's not here. It's in Oroiv later on. He says that Rotsa Kodesh Baruch Hu Lelamed. Hashem wanted to teach us. Shehamoisa Atzma Akid Hashem Yinotzel. Person who sincerely is Moisa Nefesh will end up okay. Lefichoch meisu kolak svardim shaloi olu betanurim, v'loi nisharu chayim kiim oisam shaloi betanurim. The only ones who actually survived and croaked their way back to the water one day were the ones who were Moisa Nefesh and went into the ovens. And he says, lomadnu mikan shah Moisa atma kitchem yinotzel, a person who's Moisa Nefesh will be saved. And of course, maybe not to be taken in the literal sense, for many people have indeed given up their lives like Hashem, but in the spiritual sense, one will never lose out by being Moiseh Nefesh for the Rebbein Shalem's sake. The Rebbein Shalem held that we should be Zeicher to be Mekadesh, Shem Hashem, B'chaim, in our lifetime.